Amen. Well, I'm so thankful for our brothers and sisters who are here this morning to lead us and just to continue to give us a little bit of sense of normalcy and all the craziness and to point us towards Jesus and to help us do that through songs. So thank you so much to the team this morning. Well, I want to ask us a question as we get started with our message time this morning. And the first question is, what are some qualities that you look for in a friend? What are some qualities that you look for in a friend? And feel free on some of these questions to just post some of those in the comments section, some of the things that you think of. For me, when I was younger, talking like elementary school, for me, I wanted my guy friends to be cool and to have the same interests as me, and I wanted my girlfriends to be really cute. And I soon came to realize, though, that there was much more to friendship than that. Partially because I got hurt by friends. Friends who would at times say negative things and friends who would even turn their back on me when things got hard. Though I did have a handful of good friends who were there for the ups and the downs. And I'm sure most of us can relate. See, most of us have likely had many friends who were good and friends who weren't so good. And we've probably both been the good friend at times, as well as the friend who maybe fell short. Now, I want us to think about this question for a moment. What if the perfect friend was out there? What if the perfect friend was out there? One who could love us unconditionally, warts and all. Who would be there for us any time of the day, who would cheer us on whether we were in the front or the back of the pack during this race that we call life. Someone who would never gossip about us and who sees the true beauty and potential that we were created with. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, what if I told you that a friend like that was indeed out there and that they wanted to be your friend as well? Well, today we are continuing our Knowing Him series with Him being Jesus. And the reality is that we may know a lot about Jesus, but at the same time, there's a possibility that we could miss out on truly knowing Him. We believe that the key to experiencing a great life is intimacy with Jesus. The key to experiencing a great life is intimacy with Jesus. Therefore, we're trying to get to know Him in some different and maybe better ways as we head into Easter this year. Last week, we looked at Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us, the God who became like us so that He can help us navigate everything that we face in this life. And today, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about Jesus being a friend. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't always thought of God as a friend. Earlier in life, when I was young, God just seemed a bit abstract, kind of hard to put into words or being. Well, in high school or college, for me, I had kind of put God in this place where He was out there and I understood that, but at that point for me, He was a God who would most likely send me to hell because of all the bad decisions that I was making. It wasn't until I understood that God loved me despite knowing who I had become that I began to know Him as a friend. Now, maybe some of you out there need to hear this morning, that even if you don't feel you deserve it, there is a God who knows you inside and out, both the good and the bad, and this God is still madly in love with you anyway. In these days that are a bit crazy and people are filled with fear when it comes to a great many things, a good friend, one who can inspire and one who can encourage us, is something that we could all use. Now, I want us to take a look this morning to see what type of a friend that we can find in Jesus, and also consider along with that what type of friend that we can be to others. Now, I want to begin by looking at some passages out of the Bible that I think are important to consider as we think about what a friendship with God looks like. Now, in the book of the New Testament, in the book of John, we find some real-life conversations between Jesus and His followers. Jesus had been talking about leaving, which was causing some fear and some anxiety to well up inside of his friends. And here are some encouraging words that he gave to them in those moments, words that I think are really good words for us, whether it's this week or on any day that we face. They're out of John 14:27. And here Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." He says, "I do not give you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. One of the things that Jesus left his followers was the gift of peace. Not a peace like the world has. A peace that exists only when circumstances are ideal. It's a peace that in the midst of things like sickness and viruses and natural disasters and loss and financial troubles and relational issues, a peace that can exist and thrive even then. It's a peace that helped Jesus face a brutal death on a cross. And it's a peace that can tell us that it will be okay. It will be okay. Even as the world around us seems to be in panic mode. Yes, we can be concerned, and that's okay. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. There's a big difference. Concern causes us to seek wisdom and to proceed cautiously. Fear causes some of the all-out panic that we've seen these days. Well, our hearts need not be troubled because God's got both this and us. Our hearts need not be troubled because the good news is that God's got both this and us. It's both a promise and a certainty according to his word. Jesus went on to tell them how to live and how to find a relationship with him. And he directed them this way. He said in John 15:12, he said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." He said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. How is it that Jesus loved us? Well, I think maybe one of the best words to describe his love is sacrificial. Jesus put our lives before his own in every way. Thus, we are to live lives where we make sacrifices in order to show the love of Jesus to our friends, to our family, to our classmates, to our coworkers, to the people checking out at the grocery store, to the world around us as a whole. Most of the time we agree on that, at least in theory. But what we don't talk about much is verse 14 of that. We love the idea of being a friend of God and of all that comes with that. But what we don't often think about is that friendship with God is based on submission to God. It's that by following his ways, that's what makes friendship with God possible. But the thing is, it's all worth it. Because his friendship is the only friendship that will never fail us. Let's take a look at some of the characteristics that God brings to the table and ones that he wants us to model to the world around us. The first one is right out of verse 12, and it's that friendships should be loving. Friendships should be loving. I absolutely love this quote that I came along this week online. It says, "The devil knows your name, but calls you by your sin." The devil knows your name, but calls you by your sin. But God knows your sin, but calls you by your name. Let that sink in for a moment. You see, friendship with God isn't like friendship with other people. It isn't based on being popular enough or being talented or gifted at certain things or even having our life cleaned up. Friendship with God is based on the fact that he formed us in our mother's womb. And that when he did that, he was so excited because he created us with beauty, with purpose, and with unlimited potential. God knows our faults. And yet he loves us and invites us to be part of his family anyway. He knows our faults, and yet he loves us and invites us to be a part of his family anyway. It's truth that you may need to hear today. I know that it changed my life. That moment that I realized that despite living my life in a constant state of partying for 3 years, that there was a God who looked at me and still loved me and even wanted a relationship with me despite knowing me. That truth radically transformed my view of God and made me want to have a relationship with a God who could love me like that. A God who could be a friend of a sinner like me. It's great news that we can find that type of a love from the all-powerful, all-knowing God who created the universe. But it's a whole nother thing to try to then extend that love to the world around us. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Now, I don't know about you, but that can be hard for me at times. To accept people as they are, and then to allow them the grace to change. You see, accepting people, some things that are important are that accepting people doesn't mean accepting all their behaviors and habits that are contrary to God's best for their lives. But it does mean accepting that they're loved and valued by God, and trying to extend the same grace to them that's been extended to us. And then trying to provide truth over time that will help them to reach their true potential. Now, I've tried hard to figure out personally and as a church what it means to love during these days we're facing in this world right now. For me personally, I don't fully understand. I can't wrap my mind around all of the panic and chaos that has ensued. But what I do understand is that a Christian, that I have the responsibility to model love to those in our community who are reacting in fear. And that as leaders in our community, we have a responsibility to love and protect those who may fall into that 3% mortality bracket. And it's that love that has led us to shift our gathering online for a few weeks, believing that showing we are willing to be a part of a solution that doesn't compromise our values will testify to the world around us. We do have ideas like Pastor Eric and like Gloria mentioned earlier, ideas like even things that may seem simple, like making grocery runs or supply runs to those who are vulnerable or should stay quarantined, or, you know, reaching out to our neighbors. You know, if you find yourself in one of those places here this morning, as they said earlier, we want to hear from you. We would love to help. Above all, may the world around us know the church by the love that we show for them in the days ahead. May the world know the church by the love that we show for them in the days ahead. Well, another thing that God teaches us is that friendship should be available. Friendship should be available. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about a best friend, I think about somebody who is there when we need them the most. Someone who wants to celebrate with me when things are going well and will cheer me on and tell me that things are going to be okay when the world is spinning around. Someone who will smile or laugh with me over the joyous moments, and someone who will feel my pain when my heart is hurting. Someone who I can hang out with and have fun with. You know, thinking about things this week, I think that's part of why this virus thing is so hard on people. I think that's because we were created to be together, and we don't function well in isolation. It can overwhelm us and cause us to go a bit stir crazy. Whatever situation you find yourselves in these next few weeks, I want to encourage you to try and find the positives, try and find the beauty in each moment. Maybe you have the opportunity these next few weeks to take a break from homework or tests or practices. Maybe change your pace a bit by working from home. Maybe you'll get a chance to step out more and get some fresh air and enjoy this beautiful planet that God has created. Maybe you'll have more time with the kids or with the grandkids. Maybe you'll get to spend some time just getting to know God better, a God who is deeply in love with you. I want to encourage us to take this change of pace that we've been given as a blessing rather than a curse. And to see the ways that we can be available to those who are struggling physically or emotionally during these times. Joshua 1:9 tells us, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." One of the great things about a friendship with God is that He is always available. That there is no moment that exists where He is not right there to listen, or to laugh, or to cry with us, or to enjoy the beauty of the moment. And He is always there to deliver faith, even in those moments where the world tells us that we should be overwhelmed with fear. Jesus was a person that everyone wanted to be around. Everyone wanted to have to their house or their party because He was a joy to be around. And being around Him is the only way to consistently experience joy ourselves. The last thing we want to look at today is that friendship should be encouraging. Friendship should be encouraging. I've been thinking a lot this week about how Jesus encouraged His friends, even when life could have easily dictated that they went towards fear over faith. One of the ways that He did that was Jesus often let His followers know about things that were to come, things that were in the future, right down the road. And the thing is, he told them this, and often He had this disclaimer, "Don't be afraid." You know, He told them things in the future not so that they would be afraid, but so that they could be filled with the faith that God is in control. Now, this was especially important heading into the days of the crucifixion. Jesus wanted them to know what was coming so that they could both anticipate it and maintain their faith during it. And He also took the time to give future believers a picture of what the world would look like before He returns someday. And one of the examples of that is in Luke chapter 21, and we're going to read a few verses from that here this morning. Jesus told them, He said, "When you hear about wars and riots, don't be afraid." He said these things will have to happen first, but that isn't the end. Nations will go to war against one another, and kingdoms will attack each other. There will be great earthquakes, and in many places, people will starve to death, and they will suffer terrible diseases. Strange things will happen to the sun and the moon and the stars, and the nations on earth will be afraid of the roaring seas and tides, and they won't know what to do. People will be so frightened that they will faint because of what is happening in the world, and every power in the sky will be shaken. He said, "Then the Son of Man will be seen coming in a cloud with great power and glory." He said, "When all this starts happening, stand up straight and be brave, because you will soon be set free." Now, there are many things that can cause fear and anxiety in this world. Jesus listed a lot of them, a lot of the things that we're experiencing even today. Things like wars and natural disasters and the spread of disease. However, the great news in all of this is that none of it is a surprise to God. Jesus tells us that these things will take place in order to give us the faith that He is in control, and that as His people, we will overcome. Whether we don't know when the return of Jesus is, it could be 5 years, it could be 500 years. But as Christians, Jesus tells us to stand up and be brave in the face of things that strike fear into the world around us. And as our friend, the good news is that Jesus is there to fill us with the courage and to help us face our fears with an overwhelming faith that assures us that we will overcome by His power at work in us. And it's been encouraging in the face of this, as we've even mentioned earlier, that we can see God at work. So a couple ways I've seen it are, you know, in minor ways, even at the grocery store and acts of kindness, or You know, there are national leaders who have been warring in the media for so many years, and all of a sudden they're trying to find a way to help the people that they're called to serve. As a nation, we're beginning to turn to God for help during these overwhelming times. In the midst of the chaos, there is a God who wants to encourage us that there He is there beside us, that He is in control, and that everything will be okay in the end. This is the message that God wants to convey to us in these days. And God tells us in His Word that perfect love drives out fear. And His love indeed is perfect, and that's the one that we need to draw on in these days. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. That's what He has placed inside each and every one of us. My prayer is that our days ahead would be characterized by power and love and wisdom, and that and over fear that the enemy would seek to instill in us. That we would draw on our friendship with God in such a way that we would have full access to His love and His presence and His encouragement. A friendship that can help us face anything that comes with faith instead of fear. Let's be loving. Let's be available. Let's be encouraging. Let's be prayerful. Let's be wise. Let's be compassionate. And let's be hopeful in the days to come. May we inspire the world around us to experience the same confidence that we have been given through Christ Jesus our Lord. And as we rely on our friend Jesus and on each other, let's be the church and the friends that God has called us to be, in the hope that we can inspire the people around us with the love by which we ourselves have been changed. Let's pray together. Well, God, we thank You even in these moments when so many are gripped with fear, Lord, that Your Spirit inside of us is not one of fear, but of power and love and sound judgment. We thank You that we have a friend in You who will never fail us. God, in these moments, would You just touch us and overwhelm us with Your love and with faith that things will be okay. God, we ask that You'd help us to show that love and to be a friend to those around us in these days, and to give them, to share with them the hope that we have in You. A hope that allows us to stand firm in the face of anything that comes against us. God, we even thank You just that we have the opportunity, even if it's virtually here this morning, to gather together in faith and proclaim the depths of Your love for us and the world around us. God, may Your presence and Your power be at work in ways that just blow us away in the days to come. May many be drawn to You. In Jesus' name, amen.